Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
The USC job is open. Clay Helton was fired.
But John, he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. Not a very good coach.
So be nicer about it.
Not a very good coach.
He's our old OC.
I watched Stanford get absolutely killed by Laird Veach's alma mater, Kansas State, in week one. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, USC about to wipe the floor with these dudes. Mm-hmm. No, sir. Aww. David Shaw was back with a vengeance. I don't watch a lot of Pac-12 football because I go to sleep, you know.
I honestly think we understand that here in Memphis.
Or I just pass out, either one. Mm-hmm. But, like, last time I ever thought about David Shaw, like, I thought he was a pretty good coach. Is he still regarded as, like, is Stanford still pretty good overall?
Yeah, but it's the Pac-12.
Okay.
Right. Okay? I mean, what, you know, no. So you can't be losing to Stanford. And the point is, I think at that, you know, they didn't want poor Clay to win his job back. Go out and beat a ranked Oregon or somebody later on down the road, try save his job, have the players going, yeah, keep Clay, and have to do this again. So, you know, this was it.
You know, Stanford.
You lose to this Stanford team, you're done.
Just a little trivia for you. Stanford has had the most tight ends selected in the NFL draft over the last 10 years. Do you realize that?
But no,
can you think of one Stanford tight end, like, off the top of your head?
The most tight ends in the NFL draft? Is that what you said?
Yes, they've had the
since
most.
Since when?
The last decade. But can you think of one off the top of your head? I get Andrew Luck, I know, went to Stanford.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
One, like, I was going to go back to.
Where'd
Kittle go to school?
Kittle went to Iowa. Zach Ertz.
Okay.
Went to Stanford.
There must be a couple more.
As did.
That we know.
Austin Hooper.
All right.
The rest of these guys are.
There's no Higby on there or anything?
Dalton Schultz, your guy in Dallas. Cowboy. He had a couple catches.
Let's get this straight. Is Brad Cowboy or Raider?
He's a Cowboy.
Which one is
Cowboy?
Because when I was
Raiders gear though because of Vegas.
Yeah, I thought because of the stadium and all
fine.
That you were
that's
jumping
acceptable.
Off.
Well, here's how this transpired. We didn't have the Cowboys.
Once the station switched, you switched.
Yeah, and I went all in.
Although you never embraced the Titans though. Even though we had the Titans, you were not a Titans fan.
I was a Titans fan for a good bit. I supported them, went to their games, as a matter of fact. I got pictures
hard.
To prove it.
It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's hard to be a Titans fan.
It's because it's Nashville. I'll be honest with you. I have fully embraced Memphis. I am like a lot of Memphians in that Jeff tries to pitter-patter around this. I don't. I don't like Nashville.
Well,
I think
John doesn't either.
I think it's McDonald's. It used to be fun, you know, Tootsie's hole-in-the-wall bar. Now
Absolutely.
It's McDonald's-ification.
It lost its character.
Yeah, you can't go to hole-in-the-wall. It is now McDonald's-ification of Tennessee. So I'm all in for Memphis in the organic, fun lifestyle that is Memphis.
Yeah, like, I've used this before, but, like, I'm going to New Orleans. We're going to actually get a chance to do this because, like, they're rebuilding. I'm going for a bachelor party. But there was a time where we were talking about other plans.
Sure.
And my buddy goes, well, what about Nashville? And I said, I would rather douse myself in gasoline and play a fiddle in hell for Satan himself than spend a weekend in Nashville.
The other thing is when you go, everybody talks about how fun it is. Vegas, way more fun.
Hell, Vegas is not nothing to play with.
Vegas is way more fun than Nashville. If you're thinking about spending the money, it's not close.
It's not, you know, Nashville, I'll be honest.
It's not close.
Nashville sucks, okay? Bottom line. Everything about it.
Nashville sucks.
You don't even like
I agree.
The team sucks. The nightlife sucks. The people suck.
You don't
suck.
Like Nashville hot wings.
No, everything about Nashville sucks.
Nashville hot's good. That's the one thing y'all got to
give them.
It's
okay. I wouldn't use the word Nashville.
There.
I don't like it that much.
Nobody's from there.
I understand where y'all come from.
You know, the great American cities, right? People are from there. There's
y'all don't even like to drive to
you
Nashville.
You go to New York City, man, and it's like, I'm from New York City.
I have convinced my Midwestern St. Louis friends now to come to Memphis over Nashville, and they always, once they do it, they all agree. They go, you know what? I love going over to Ghost River. I love going downtown and you know, all these places.
100%. We have authenticity.
Man, if JT and Clay Travis came in here right now and told both of y'all, we want both of y'all to move up here with us to Nashville.
No.
Both
y'all,
no.
Both y'all
no.
Say, okay, I'll wear a house.
Also,
man, get up out of here.
No,
get up out of here.
Hey, also,
get up out of here.
No disrespect, couple posers right there you just mentioned. Wow. I'm sorry.
Wow. Now, Clay Travis does not even live in Nashville. Wow. He lives outside of Nashville.
Oh, all that's the Brentwood stuff's all the same, bro. Yeah, that's what it's a suburb of it.
Yeah, there's no. I'll be honest. There's no amount of money you could pay me to live
but
in Nashville.
But that comes from a – that I see now. I see how you that is. Because this comes from a suburban, huh? A guy who no longer
Southwind.
Lives in Memphis.
Mm. Yeah, well, I live like a block away from Memphis. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm telling you about those Nashville suburbs.
Hax Cross is literally a half
mile
away from me.
But apparently you Germantown residents don't think you're in Memphis anymore. Because that's what you're saying about Nashville, essentially.
No. I'm trying to be clear. Clay Travis should not be claiming Nashville. He should not be claiming Nashville.
He claimed Brentwood, Nashville, all of it. Brentwood,
the area.
Yes, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
But I'm born and raised in Memphis. Like, I've always lived in Memphis.
You're from the streets.
You used to be.
Until I don't know if I'm from the streets, but I mean, I'm definitely
the streets.
Born and raised in Memphis. I don't consider, I mean, I live in Germantown, but like, that ain't what I rep. You know what I mean?
Sycamore View exit, wasn't it? What was your exit?
Yeah, Sycamore View exit.
It's rough around there. That's what I'm saying, though.
Brad
could be right about the streets.
You got to be careful.
I grew up Midtown. It was not as rough as that Sycamore View exit.
Yeah, you had a nicer area than where you grew up.
By the penal farm.
Jason grew up in a nicer area than you.
Oh, I was Poplar and Stonewall.
Good.
Now, you go a little bit behind Stonewall there for a couple of years. It got a little rough.
Yeah.
It got a little rough. But, no, I wasn't on the rich side now. We were 147 Stonewall, which is a
Now, y'all did have that Fox RT money now.
No. We grew up on Channel 5 money, then Channel 3 money. Then
that was when TV paid, though. They don't pay anymore.
Well, if you're a Jarvis Greer, do they pay?
They do if you're old. If you're young, they don't.
If you're
if you're getting in now, you don't.
Well, if you have a brand in the city of Memphis, they will pay. But if you're one of these sort of Johnny Come
If you're
Les
Smith, at the end of his career, you get paid.
But we were in an apartment, though. We were apartment livers, man. My dad, told you, this wasn't a deal where, like, he's a great saver and all that stuff. And my mom, at that point, he was taking care of us.
Exactly.
And so I would tell you we were at one point upper middle class.
Okay.
Then we drop down. Dad ends up over the music building in Memphis.
Wow.
And mom becomes the breadwinner for a couple of years there before he even gets back into television as a news reporter. But for a while, brother, we dropped. Man, couldn't pay the – and there were times we couldn't pay the rent. And I know that's not something they would want me to say, but that's part of what families go through. We all get that. We've all got our stories.
Sure.
And frankly, it helped us in terms of me and Jeff realizing, you know, you can't take for granted anything you've got. It could all be taken away.
Yeah.
But point was that, no, we weren't ever rich in Midtown.
Yeah.
But it was a great place to grow up. I ain't going to lie to you.
That's what, you know,
Midtown Memphis was Memphis. It was a great place to grow up when I was –
At one point,
late 80s,
Les had to sell, you know, his football picks. Just to pay the
main stock. Now, Les ended up just fine retiring on down to Belize, talking about selling his football. He ended up just fine. And that man rebounded.
I think his picks might have been better than yours.
His picks were. His picks are pretty good.
It sounds like you had it much tougher. Again, you had one parent doing all of the work. You're coming up over that Sycamore View exit over
there. That Burger King dicey, man.
Bottom lining it.
Have you seen the like they had to Bird and them had to shut that Applebee's down? Like, brother, it's
Applebee's.
There is a drug problem over there by that exit now.
Damn.
Y'all didn't know this?
That's I didn't know this.
They've had to go in there and clean it up a bunch of times, dude.
Sycamore View.
I've gone back over there. I've gone over there and tried to feed folks. Yes, they have an issue over there, just as bad as anywhere in town. That they've had to go back through, clean up the hotels over there, the restaurant, the abandoned restaurant. It's rough, bro. Now it wasn't like that when you were coming up, but it is gone downhill. They're trying to get it back cleaned up.
Yeah, well, you know,
Memphis is better than Nashville. That was my point.
Well,
we did get a little off there. I mean, most of that.
You guys won't believe this, but this this segment started about Urban Meyer.
What?
Yeah, well, I guess USC.
Come on, bring it back home. Thank you.
USC fired Clay Helton, and now Urban Meyer is being linked to the job. Mm-hmm. And he said today, after he was asked, that he is fully committed to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which does indeed mean he will be the next coach at USC. Whatever the opposite he says, whatever he says the opposite is true. I will tell you, though, like, that franchise in Jacksonville, I don't think he's going to make it to a year or two. I mean, I think they're going to lose every game. I think they're going to lose every single game.
I questioned their hiring of him going all the way back to the preseason when he's trying to hire that former Iowa strength coach,
the weird stuff.
The Tebow thing ends up being a distraction for a team that, look, is trying to rebuild here. And, you need as few distractions as possible. It just feels like guy who's used to having his way, doesn't necessarily get the pulse of the NFL, and that this thing's more business than it was in college, where you can be king of the hill. You know, use that fear, use that whatever it is, that reverence they have for you. It ain't the same in the NFL. And he still seems like he's got a foot in college football coaching in terms of his approach. And so I've questioned it from his first couple of decisions he's made as their coach.
Yep. So anyway, USC looking for a coach. Is it going to be Urban Meyer? Probably so, because he said he's not going to be the coach. So that's the latest in college football.
Next story.
John Rothstein of CBS Sports, who we know has got the Tigers at 17, kept them there after they got Imani Bates. Has got his 25 impact freshman college basketball for 21-22 list out in no particular order, he says, as well. He does not rank them, just gives you 25. There's some names we know, obviously, on this list. I will read from, if you will allow me. Jalen Duren, Memphis. Being compared to Chris Webber before you ever step foot on a college campus is a high bar, but Duren is ready for the challenge. The 6'10 big man has the talent, size, and skill to be one of the top picks in the 2022 NBA draft. His decision to reclassify and play for Memphis this season completely changed the ceiling on Beale Street. I'll read Imani Bates, John, before I want to hear your thoughts. A generational talent. The 6'9 Bates followed Duren's lead and reclassified in the 2021 class to play for Penny Hardaway and Memphis. The Tigers plan to use Bates at multiple positions during the upcoming season, including point guard. They got two on John's list of 25 here. You got three of your most important players back from last season. How in the world do we got them 17 if these dudes are so good?
Yeah, I mean, if you think they're so good and Monty Bates is such a generational talent, then why did you not move the Tigers up a spot after he committed?
After they got him.
Yeah.
Another name on
this
list.
Rothstein just be saying stuff, man.
Well, Rothstein be getting them clicks.
Yeah, like he just be saying stuff.
Rothstein be getting them clicks. Guess who else is on the list from Tennessee? Smooth, steady, and always under control. Kennedy Chandler can seamlessly run a team and get a unit into its offense. He'll play a massive role for Rick Barnes and Tennessee this season. Another one worth mentioning, because Memphis will see him as well, and Memphis recruited him at one point, J.D. Davison, Alabama.
Yes.
Freak athlete, we know. We saw a ton of them here in Memphis beforehand. 6'2". Davison has incredible speed in the open floor. Should be perfect fit. And Nate Oates. Ooh, I love me some Nate Oates. High-octane attack. With Davison, Javon Quinterly, and Jaden Shackford, Alabama has a guard core intact that should keep it in the upper echelon of the SEC. Do you expect Memphis to beat both of those teams?
No. No.
That's asking a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I expect a split. I expect the split because, look, Alabama's going to be a top 15 team.
You can't get a 2 seed going 0-2 in those two
100%.
Games. 100%. Okay,
you can still get a 2 seed splitting,
I think so.
Though.
I think I'm with you on that.
I would rather them win.
Especially since one of them's neutral, because that loss wouldn't hurt you as much as it would have if that one was here.
Yes. So you'd rather them win the neutral side game against Tennessee, because you're going to get more credit for that, especially if they are as good as people think they will be, or at least in that range. If they're a top 25 team, you're going to get more, even though Alabama might be ranked higher, I think you get more credit for not a road win.
Depends on where Tennessee is then, but I think you're right.
But let's say they're in the same range, 17 to 22, something like that, 15, 22. The one you really want to win, it's never good to lose at home, but, even if you win the game, it's still a home win. So you just, it's quad one, but it all comes out in the wash, honestly. You got to split. You got to split those two games.
At least. I'm with you on that.
And
that,
you
they have the talent to win both.
Yes, they certainly do. But I mean,
back to back those games.
Alabama is loaded. I mean, they are freaking loaded. They got Quinterly, like you said. They got Shackelford.
JD.
They're a loaded basketball team, man. And so that's going to be a heavyweight fight. Tennessee. I think Tennessee is utterly beatable for Memphis. I mean, Kennedy, of course, is going to be a good player, but You know, beyond that.
You think he gets plays the season, ends up a lottery pick, as he's, you know, has been projected right now?
I mean, he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton. He's going to have every opportunity.
Is he tall enough to be a lottery pick?
I mean, he's such a gamer, though. That's the thing.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Dude is a dog.
His production's going to be there. That's the thing.
My whole thing is, how many 6'1", 6'2", point guards are going in the lottery these days? You don't see a ton of them.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Maxey was only like 6'3".
Smaller, yep.
Is he a point, though?
He's a point.
Maxey a scorer.
He's their point. I mean, he's a point scorer. He can do one or two, you know. And yeah. I think that's what they'll need him to do at Tennessee, right? He's got to be their scorer, too.
Well, he's going to be their
He's running
point,
the show.
Run the point and score. I mean, they're going to have him doing everything.
I'm just looking here at you know, Jalen Suggs was what, 6'4"?
But
he's such a big kid, though.
And he plays so athletic. He's so athletic. He's above the rim.
Jalen Suggs is 205 pounds, you know. Yeah.
Kennedy's got to a point where he's above the rim, but still it ain't Suggs above the rim.
Trey Mann is 6'3". That's kind of who Kennedy sort of runs like to me. Trey Mann, and he went 18th. So I do think it's going to be an uphill battle.
It's tough.
Davion is not as big.
He's got the DNA to do it.
Yeah,
now.
He's a dog.
Davion is 6 foot, but he's 200 pounds. Again, like you're talking about just the thickness and the physicality that Davion brings.
No, I was sold on Kenny Chandler, though. Highlight, you see him taking that ball from Jalen Green, going in there and dunking that ball. Yeah, he's not scared of anything.
Well, how tall is Jalen Morant? Jalen's what, 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3".
Yes, 6'3". With unbelievable athleticism.
It's just a ridiculous vertical.
Dunk on 7 footers.
Obviously, the vert is sick.
Now, Kennedy's, I mean, he's not Ja Morant.
No, he doesn't. It's not that sort of athleticism. He's athletic, but it's not that athletic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think people will be surprised by how athletic Kennedy Chandler is.
I think he's going to have a fantastic season for him just because he's a guy who makes all the right decisions. You got the dog in you.
Yep.
I just don't. Lottery pick, going to be, you know, that would be impressive.
Yeah.
To hold on to that. But that's where he's currently still slotted.
Before we get to Christian here, I was promised bathroom rankings.
Well, I'll do that. If you're fine.
This is good, yeah.
You're fine with me going two stories in a row. You said it typically goes the other way.
Yeah, well, we do make exceptions.
All right, everybody wants to know. I got folks.
This is good.
Big Game Boomer. It's a YouTube show covering college football. That's where this ranking comes from. Obviously, an Oklahoma guy has rated the top 20 best worst stadium bathrooms. Guess where Memphis might rank on, well, where they do. There is no might to it. The Liberty Bowl is on this list. You probably would have guessed. They're number 12 on worst bathrooms in college football. But guess what, guys? They're not number one. And you know who is? You know who's number one on worst bathrooms in the country in college football?
Who is it, Ole Miss?
No! They used to have a trash can as their emblem, as a mascot. Do you remember?
Tennessee?
It's the Tennessee Vols.
Whoa.
Neyland Stadium has the worst bathrooms in the country.
Number one.
Don't worry about our bad bathrooms here at the Liberty Bowl or the dirty windows, because there's something dirtier and nastier, and it resides up in Knoxville, Tennessee, with the worst bathrooms in college football. How about that? According to this list. Memphis, number
Neyland
12.
Is just one big commode.
One big, yeah. Nebraska 2, Georgia Tech 3. Your boy Fuente got some dirty bathrooms at Virginia Tech. They number 4. Got to clean up over there. What's the song we do? We started out with everybody jump.
Enter Sandman.
Yes, Enter Sandman. Well, but apparently down in them bowels, it's like some bowels down in them bathrooms.
The Grim Reaper down
after
there.
Them folks get done with that Sandman. Michigan State 5. This is worst. Clemson 6, Colorado. There's no excuse for Clemson to have the sixth worst bathrooms in the country. 7, Colorado. 8, Ohio State. Number 10, a man will have on his former school, Penn State, is 10th worst bathroom. Wow. Christian Hackenberg's coming up next. We said Memphis is 12th, but again, you don't have to worry about being hurt by this, because when you've got Tennessee number one, it makes you feel a lot better about your program.
We have the best football program in the state and the best bathrooms.
The best bathrooms, apparently, at least better than that dump up there in Knoxville.
Are not as bad.
Unfortunately, I do have some bad news when we look over to the best list. This is why they're getting in the Big 12. Cincinnati's got the 8th best bathrooms in the country.
That's why they got in the Big 12?
We got to clean up. We have to clean up. If we're ever going to get there, I know your man Rudd is trying to do that.
You got like turkey legs all over the toilet, man.
anybody got a guess on best bathrooms in college football, number one?
Alabama.
They're actually on the bad list.
Oh, wow.
It's Alabama, Alabama is one spot above Memphis. I should have mentioned that. They're 11th on the worst.
It's not
on the
worst list. How about that? That surprises me.
So give me. It's not going to be an SEC team, right?
It is not an SEC team.
Because we're dirty in the South.
We're nasty people. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I would say, is it Texas?
It is Texas.
Are you serious?
Yes. How did you look?
They are clean people. They clean the hell out of that thing.
It's funny because Texas is one. These are best bathrooms. Yeah. Texas A&M is two.
Wow.
And Texas Tech is 19.
Texas cleans their
Texas
stuff.
Texas takes care of their bathrooms.
There's money in Texas.
All that money down there. And
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's money
commode
in Texas.
Cleaning
and
processes.
You know, you have I'm sure everything is bigger and better in Texas.
Brad, your Bulldogs.
Where are we at?
Are on the list. Now, what do you think of their bathrooms before I tell you the ranking, whether it's on a good
they're
or bad?
They're adequate. I would rank them in the middle someplace.
On good or bad?
So there's like sides.
There's two lists here.
It probably navigates. We're in the South.
You're down there all the time, so tell me which list do you think they should be on?
Is it?
You feeling some pressure here, I can tell.
This is very pressurized.
You got to pick. We got Hackenberg
pretty good.
Coming up.
I'm actually surprised. The ones I go into are very clean at Mississippi State.
Good on you. You chose wisely. Mississippi State, 11th best bathrooms in the country.
Here we go. Hail State.
How about that?
Clean it.
Florida State, 17th best bathroom.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh. Right, now, Memphis number 12
about
on
to
this
flush
list.
Flush Mike on down.
Can we use some of that $50 million if we're going to get that?
Oh yeah.
What do you think
of get a new trough?
What do you think
there?
Of Mark's comments about just cleaning up your existing? I mean, is that a fair comment?
We've been saying that around Memphis for about 30.
Just clean what you
since
have.
Since 65, we've been saying that though. Just keep fixing on that thing. Just clean it up. Yeah. It'll be a lot better. We'll be fine.
Exactly. We'll come back. Christian Hackenberg going to join us. We'll ask him about the Liberty Bowl. Get his thoughts on how good or bad that stadium is from his time with the Express. Here with the AAF, all that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 90 FM, yes, please.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
He is Christian Hackenberg, former Penn State quarterback, NFL quarterback, now doing the media thing over at the Field of 12. It's absolutely awesome if you're a college football fan. He's on Twitter at C Hackenberg One. He joins us now. Christian, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, man, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, so before we get into college football and what's going on, USC, Urban Meyer, We do have to address the elephant in the room, which is the Memphis Express. Now, you are, you are one of very few people on this planet that know what the inside operation was like with the Express. What was it like, man? How was the Memphis Express?
Man, it was a pretty crazy experience. You know, I think a lot of guys were very grateful for the opportunity, but the way – I think just the whole way that the league came out about it and how they did things, it was a little rushed, and I felt they overlooked some things. And I think that ultimately kind of hurt it, you know, in terms of it surviving. I do think it was a great thing for professional football, and the amount of talent that's out there and just guys who don't have jobs, aren't on practice squads, but can still play. I thought the concept was great, but the execution wasn't fantastic. But it was a great experience, man. Like, just being out there, getting a taste of what Memphis was like, and then also just having the opportunity to play a little bit more ball and put some and have some fun with it and still be in that locker room. That was great about it. So I really enjoyed that aspect.
I do remember, like, at least in the early goings, right? I feel like, man, you know, this actually is, you know, pretty interesting.
Initially.
Same thing with the XFL, you know, because like you said, it's serving a purpose with all these guys because there's only so many spots. But was there a moment for you, and again, you've been on NFL rosters, you were second-round draft pick, you know what operations are supposed to look like. Was there a moment where you thought to yourself, my God, this thing has no chance?
Yes. There were a few.
You ain't got to be nice here, brother.
It ain't coming back, man. What happened?
No, I mean, it was just housing and how they were handling things and getting equipment in, and not even equipment, but apparel. And it was just, for the way it was portrayed to a lot of us who were going into it, I don't think the AAF as an organization held up their end of the bargain. And I don't know if that was regionally or on a team by team basis. I'm not quite sure. You know what? I can't speak to what other organizations experienced, but specifically in Memphis, I just thought that there was a lot. It was a lot of over promising and under delivering, if you know what I mean. And you know, there was a lot of things operationally that, to your point, like guys who've been there and done that could see. And we had a few guys on our roster, and we just looked at each other like, damn, dude.
I mean, did they put you in a duplex in North Memphis? Like, what was the housing situation like?
So I actually went out and got an Airbnb because I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Wow.
So I just went out. I was like, man, screw it. Fortunately, I could do it. I went out and got an Airbnb, a little long-term Airbnb out there, and then, you know, just kind of rolled with the punches. But – yeah, like I said, man, it was poorly executed. But there was a lot of really good guys with really good intentions, and I hope, like I said, I just hope something comes out of it. I hope there's some type of revival, because it's good for not just players but all people: operations, scouts, coaches, trainers, strength coaches. It's just good to have a feeder system and build a pipeline. So, you know, hopefully someone gets it right.
Christian, on behalf of the Memphis Express and the AAF, I'd like to apologize to you for having that. And last thing on this, Singletary. You know, we had a strange interview with him, kind of to talk about the season, to say the least. What was he like in terms of coaches you played for? How high was he on the list? What was he like in terms of playing for Mike Singletary?
I think Mike's a great man. I just don't know how. He obviously spent a lot of time focusing on the defense, and I don't think he really cared too much about the offensive side of the ball, and we had our own issues there. But he was a great man. I just, you know, I think it's hard. As a football coach, I wasn't super sold as a person. I was sold. I liked him a lot. I think you could gain a lot of knowledge from him just in terms of how to be a man, how to carry yourself, and things like that. But I think from a football standpoint, having him in a position where he's the head running everything, you know, I didn't quite see it. Maybe as a linebackers coach or a defensive coordinator, it would have been a little bit different. But, you know, just running the whole show, I don't know. I don't know if he was quite ready for it, but like I said, I got a ton of respect for him as a human being. It was cool for the amount of time that I got to spend with him and just see how he carried himself and how he maneuvered throughout the day. But yeah, from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't know.
I got you.
That was kind of our whole thing. And again, we're going to talk about things other than the AAF. But our whole thing was when you know the AAF was announced and Memphis was getting a team, like the idea that we would hire, you know, in Memphis a defensive minded person rather than somebody that's going to go out and try to score 78 points a game.
Right.
We rejected that. Last thing on this, because you saw it up close and personal. There's been a lot of talk in Memphis the last week or two because they got left out of the Big 12 about the Liberty Bowl and about, you know, not just updating or upgrading it, but building a new stadium in this city besides the Liberty Bowl. What did you think of your time in the Liberty Bowl? Like, a lot of people think it's a dump. Did you think it was better than that? Like, what was your opinion of that stadium? You've played in a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think there definitely needs to be some updating. But as it pertains to like the locker room, like it was nice. Like the locker room was nice. It was a good thing to operate out of. But I think just the feel, you know, you look at it from the outside and it just looks dated. And I think in order to get into a conference like that, the school needs to make investments in that arms race. And you look across the country, I mean, everyone's doing it. Like
exactly.
Even people who don't need new stuff, they're out there trying to get new things and shiny toys. And, you know, so I just think from a standpoint of it just needs to be updated. You know, I'm obviously really appreciative of it, and it was cool, and I thought they had some nice things. But overall, top to bottom, I think it just needed a total facelift, a revamp.
No doubt.
And maybe building the new ones the best way to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to have to spend $150 million on upgrades to bring it up to, you know, you might as well just at that point, you know, find the other part of that money. We're talking to Christian Hackenberg here. Catch him on Field of 12 After Dark. Absolute great stuff if you are a college football fan. USC has an opening. Urban Meyer says he's committed to Jacksonville. So does that mean Urban Meyer is going to be the next coach of USC?
I don't know, man. I think it's just interesting watching Urban's career path and the decisions he's made and the timing of some things when he's left places. But I do really think for him, he's built programs. He's been there, done that. And I don't know if he necessarily wants to do that again at the college ranks where he's at in his career. And I think, you know, this is his last challenge. And I feel that he wants to really attack that at the NFL level. And I don't see anything pulling him away from Jacksonville. And I think he's got a lot more control down there too, in terms of personnel and things like that than what people think. So that's always a good thing to have when you're trying to build a program and revamp an entire organization. So I think he's pretty locked in Jacksonville.
Does Florida have a chance here against Alabama this weekend, Christian? I mean, they're 14.5-point underdogs, and I think the stat I saw, the Tide have won 76 straight. That's it, 76 consecutive games as double-digit favorites. What do you think the chances are Florida can make this a game? Can they?
I don't. I'm you know, going into the preseason, we were talking about it a little bit on our show. It's just there's these George Whitfield always refers to them as the five families, and they've just been so consistent. And I think Alabama, the way they've played up until this point, I mean, they romped a Miami team that had a ton of hype coming into that game, and Miami hasn't been the same since. You know, they struggled with App State last week. I think the guys they have, the athletes they have, the coaching staff, and the standard that Nick Saban holds that team to, and especially this early in the season, I think Florida's still trying to find their identity offensively. They're going to have to win a track meet, and that defense isn't going to let that happen as it pertains to Alabama. So I think Alabama's going to roll.
Does it feel like a season where a Georgia could knock them off, or are we talking rolling all the way to the national championship for you with Alabama?
No, I mean, that was my preseason, like, I guess not sleeper pick. I didn't want to pick Alabama because that's the easy pick. So I think Alabama, I think Georgia is the closest thing to be, and I think this is their year. And the only reason I say that is I go back to the quarterback play. They have JT and Bennett down there, Stinson. Not sure if I said his name right, but he played last week. Mm-hmm. They have some experience at that position, and then I think what Georgia did defensively against Clemson was I mean, that puts them in Alabama from that side of the ball in a completely different ballpark than most people. And even Clemson's up there too, because they had a good showing, but just offensively they couldn't quite keep up. So I do think that Georgia has a chance this year. And if it's any year, this is the year for Kirby and them. Okay. And they should be getting really excited for that.
I like that.
Well, we know the money is going to change dramatically for Texas and Oklahoma by joining the SEC, but mm-hmm. more specifically for Texas, it feels like to me, because they, you know, a lot of years it's them and Oklahoma in the Big 12, and now they're going to be joining a league where it's not just going to be you and Oklahoma. You're going to have Florida, you're going to have Georgia, you're going to have Alabama. Do you think that Texas fans are going to lament this move in 5, 10, 15 years? Because are they going to be able to – is there going to be a year where you could say Texas is competing for championships in that league on an annual basis? Like, what do you think it looks like for Texas when they finally do join the SEC?
Yeah, man, it's been so frustrating for me watching Texas over the years, because I always say this, you look back and there's a handful of programs – that when they're good, it's great for college football. And Texas is one of them, historically speaking. And they just haven't quite been able to get over that hump since, Colt had them there a little bit, but really since Matt Brown was there. And it's just been this just revolving door of trying to build culture and it not working, and then bringing somebody else in, and then having to wait 3 more years until they get their kids in there. And so it's just hard, and it sucks, because I think, you know, this move with Sark there right now, if they can establish a culture and a winning culture heading into the SEC, I don't think that they're going to be too bummed about it. But if this hire with Sark ends up kind of being one of those things where it's just back into that revolving door of, I don't know, we didn't give him enough time. You know, he's not had an established guy at the quarterback position that's been able to lead him. I think that's where it's going to be like, maybe we should just stick with where we're at and try and win this conference first before we try and go mess with the big boys. Yeah. But if they can do something now and establish something, I think it'll be all right. But they have a little bit of time, and we'll see.
I got to ask you, we'd be remiss not to. You got Auburn, number 22, coming in there to play your Penn State guys. What will you be watching closest, Christian? Matchup, performance, what are you going to have your eye on first during that one?
Yeah, well, I think obviously that environment is going to be insane. And I know I'm talking as a Penn State guy, but they haven't had a whiteout up there for 2 years. It's going to be – you can already feel it, and I'm talking to people up there. I just had a conversation with one of the guys that used to work with football today this morning about it, and he said campus is nuts. So I think that's going to be something, and it's going to be comparable, but I've been to Alabama, I've been to LSU, and I'm telling you right now that whiteout is right up there with any of the big venues in college football. So I think that's going to be a factor. But really, I'm watching. I want to see if Bo Nix can take care of the football. Mm-hmm. I saw a stat the other day. He's 10 touchdowns and 10 interceptions on road games.
Wow.
And the thing is the defense at Penn State has really shown me something up until this point this year, and I think that's a lot of credit to this coaching staff in terms of how they've built that team. They're really athletic east to west. They got some ball hawks in the backfield, on the defensive backfield. So they're going to be very opportunistic, and I think Bo's got to avoid that at all costs, because once that momentum goes, it can really spiral for teams. And then offensively for Penn State, I thought they got in a little bit of a rhythm last week, and they've had so much turnover from a philosophy standpoint over the past few years. It's just I'm really pulling for Yurcich. I got to talk to him a few times this offseason. I think he's a great fit up there from a culture standpoint, a mentality standpoint. And I'm just excited to see. I said this yesterday when I was talking with Josh Perry on the other Field of 12 podcast we do surrounding Big Ten football. I think this year has a lot of feel of the 2016 year with Joe Moorhead.
Yeah.
And if they can have that Minnesota-type win early in the season that they had without the Pitt loss, obviously, mm-hmm. Against a non-conference team like Auburn, and really get rolling, I think Ohio State's vulnerable this year too. So that's one of those family of five guys. So I think it puts Penn State in a really good position to really take control of the East and represent the Big Ten in a college football playoff scenario if they get this done and take care of business throughout the year. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm curious to see the offense, and then defensively, they need to get some takeaways early.
Hey, Christian, man, we appreciate
really
you joining
this,
us.
Man.
We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time with the Express, man. Thanks as always, man.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Hagenberg. Catch him on Field of 12 After Dark. JP and Hack Show also on the Field of 12. Very good stuff. Very good stuff. The young man seems to have a future in this part.
He knows his stuff on both
sides. Sounds great, and it's good on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, sometimes you perform players like they sort of have so many relationships around college football or whatever the sport is that they don't want to like. They don't want to say, well, Singletary wasn't a good like Chris Hagenberg basically had no problem saying, I don't know if he knew his X's and O's.
Keeping it real.
What I appreciate was his because he doesn't know us. He might think we still got a great deal of pride about that. You know what I'm saying about the Liberty Bowl and the AAF and all that. And so he was trying to say nice things at first, right, to feel us out. He was feeling us out there early.
It was getting
just go ahead and say how you really feel. And yes, he was not
good job
scared to
that
them.
Too. Yeah. You guys remember those initial interviews with the Express people coming into our studios?
We were looking at each other like
yes.
It was a lot of gusto ahead of real production in terms of even off the field. I'm not even talking about the football product. I'm talking about, we're going to haves. You know, we're going
to
haves.
Well, I think they obviously
may have to get an Airbnb.
The hell,
so
man.
Shaky with the housing.
It was sketchy as hell. Let's be real.
That wasn't a Memphis Express issue. That was a league issue.
League issue.
The whole thing was sketchy as hell.
In defense of just the Memphis experience, that the whole league was screwed up.
Like,
the checks weren't coming at one point and all that stuff.
Yes.
Sounds like he did get paid, though, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I think we would have heard that.
Yeah.
I think we would have heard it. You're not gonna
I think so. He would have told us.
Yeah, he would have said something about that. The Airbnb thing's kind of interesting.
But, you know, I do give, like, a startup league a little bit of slack. They only played, one season, right? Was it one or two?
It was
two. What are you talking about?
They didn't get through one and then half.
They didn't get through one, did they?
No, was it two?
They were shut down on one.
Yeah, they didn't get through the April. It stopped in March. It stopped in March.
Two seasons of AAF, unless I'm crazy.
Kosha Irby. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, he was like the GM, wasn't he?
He was the GM. Yeah, he was doing push-ups in our studio. He's like, I'm ready for this. I'm excited.
That must have been on gate because we didn't get that.
Did you guys have Kosha?
When you said the in-studio guests. I was wondering, we got Singletary on the phone.
Okay, that was before y'all was with you. I wasn't even with y'all at that point.
So y'all had him in here doing push-ups, GM?
The GM was like, he was like a workout guy.
Yeah, he came from the WWE.
Yeah.
You know?
He was hype. Yeah. I mean, that guy was hype.
Well, I still think.
The league ceased operations in April, and the camp was November 2018.
Yeah.
In April of 2019, it shut. It was one season.
Hey, there were some innovations that came out of the league. For example, the Memphis Tigers party deck, that idea originated with the AAF.
Wow, it sure did.
Mm-hmm. So there's some innovation there.
He lost his gig. Singletary replaced him with Mettenberger after Christian struggled early on.
Yeah, that's right.
Then Mettenberger got hurt, and instead of going back to Hackenberg, he went with Brandon Silvers.
The hell was that?
And then that next day, they signed Manziel.
And they never played.
Ended up never playing. And he never played.
Yeah. They didn't even play him.
Like, the quarterback situation here was crazy.
I remember it.
In that little short time.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing that anything came out of that, which is the party decks at the University of Memphis football game. And that was originated.
This clip. I wonder if this is...
Brian is our starting quarterback.
Brian is our starting quarterback. You remember that press conference?
Yeah, because it wasn't Johnny Manziel. That's about the only thing I remember. I remember tweeting it into existence. I said, Johnny Manziel is about to be a member of the Memphis Express. And they sign him. And they don't play him. Like, what's the point? The whole thing was a joke.
It didn't make any sense.
The whole thing was stupid because you hired this. I mean, Christian Hagenberg even told you. You bring in this guy who's basically a glorified linebackers coach. You know, he's the head coach and he wants to win games 17-10. That's not how you get people in the building. You know, you got to hire. You know, honestly, you should just do a fan thing. Every week, it's a different fan that's coaching. You know. Like, you should always innovate instead of trying to just be a worse version of the NFL. That was where they messed up.
No, they blew it. And we tried. Like, I held out hope. We tried to support it there early.
We were in.
That's what I said.
They had an ad budget. I wonder if we got paid on that.
Yeah, you might want to follow up.
I don't think we got paid. I think that bill didn't get done. I'll have to check.
Yeah, check on that. We follow up.
Because they were advertising it.
Johnny Manziel, I tweeted about Johnny Manziel. He apparently had some interaction with the Birmingham defender, and he said, you want to start that way?
Oh, I remember that.
I'll turn up on your bitch ass. You don't remember?
Oh, I do.
Remember he showed up at the Chandler Parsons game, and those two were buds and like hanging out and all that crap with the girlfriends?
So on brand
to
have those two be buds.
You know, a couple of bros.
Amazing. It is fun.
Gotta love
it. It's crazy that happened. I wonder if Jeff will have that in his next 20 years of great sports in Memphis. If he'll include it in the book.
The AAF will be but a blip.
You won't even remember it.
Oh, that's so classic.
There was Hackenberg having to live it out.
Is there anything that even compares to in Memphis sports, like something that came and went that quickly, like as an organization slash team?
We've had our share of that kind of stuff.
Coaches, yes, but I'm just saying.
We had Arena League there for, like, weren't the Memphis Pharaohs a thing?
Where did they play?
The Memphis Rockers in basketball.
They played at the Coliseum, the Memphis Pharaohs?
No, it was like, yeah, that's a good question.
The River Kings were long.
I don't know if they ended up playing down at the whatever the DeSoto
Lander
thing
Center.
Was at the time. Yeah. If that
the
was where
Pharaohs.
The Memphis Pharaohs, I want to say. And then
they played at the Pyramid.
The folks played at
that's
the Pyramid.
Right, because the Pyramid connection.
See, that's what I'm telling you, folks. I clearly don't remember all of it, but I do remember that was a time.
Did people
that
go
was
to
an
those
actual
games?
Time.
Sure. Did people go?
I think for a second, and then it shut down.
In 95.
I can't imagine it went on for too long. Like, AAF's got to have the record for shortest. That didn't even get through a whole season. But Pharaohs, I don't remember going on too long. The XFL that first time around came, went.
These secondary sports in Memphis, there's quite an interesting history. Like, last night I was actually watching on Twitter, the soccer owner who owns the Redbirds, he was tweeting about and apologizing for all the losses for this soccer team we've got. Like, because I guess people are pissed they're not winning.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to these secondary sports, like spring football. He seemed like he was excited about spring football in that interview.
Yeah. Well, I went to a Memphis 901 FC game a couple months ago. Now, it was during a weeknight.
Is it still hype?
Well, it wasn't that night, I'll be honest. But it was like a Tuesday night. You know, I'm assuming.
I'm not going to say who, but was tweeting me how bad Hackenberg was just as a QB here, too. That
he couldn't do a very good job.
Well, he did. I mean, the NFL, he was a second-round draft pick.
Well, I mean, what?
Who never played.
Up to Penn State
like,
level.
Those don't happen.
Yeah.
Guy got drafted second and never played for the Jets.
Who tweeted you? Mike Singletary?
No.
Man, Singletary.
That'd be funny if Singletary did. He don't give a damn about Hackenberg, man. As we know. He don't care about offense, quarterbacks, nothing.
Yeah.
Christian told you that.
Singletary would play without a quarterback if he could. He would just have an offensive line.
I'm trying to have Christian Hackenberg back on college football because he was very good.
Great.
So I'm not right. I'm not going to read
I actually
this,
have a really good promo
text.
As we go into break here for y'all.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, he tried baseball, too, just a year ago.
Yes,
he's a good athlete.
Hackenberg did.
Yeah, he's second round NFL pick, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't just get picked in second round if you don't have talent. So
yeah, but it's hard to transition. Only man can do that on this God's green earth is Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Tebow, of course, he gets multiple chances.
And MJ. MJ did that. Minor league, right?
He was better than you think.
Better than you think.
He was.
Yes.
Dude hit home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you can hit a home run,
bro, they threw the ball underhanded to Michael Jordan, bro.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, them pitchers tried to strike him out.
Yeah,
pitchers tried to strike him out as a notch on their belt.
Bro, you ain't ever seen Space Jam where the catcher's helping him? Now, why do you think they came up with that?
See, that's the problem. You think that Space Jam thing was his career.
The catcher was such a fan of Michael. He was like,
now, he wasn't Bo Jackson.
Fastball, don't swing. And then, he doesn't swing. He's
stop.
Like, he's like,
you
okay.
Act like Mike just took pitches, tried to walk, and it's still like peewee league.
Catcher goes, all right, this one's coming over the plate.
Man,
don't
stop. No,
swing.
They didn't. And then, maybe early on.
And then Jordan swung, and then the catcher goes, I told you not to swing. That's how it was in those minor league games. You're going to try to sit here and tell me that Michael Jordan's career was legitimate, man.
You talking about I sit up here and talk bad about LeBron, which is completely wrong. It's all you do is go back and try to take shots at the real GOAT.
You're trying to legitimize Michael Jordan's baseball career.
He went out there and hit home runs. He was better than he probably was better than Tebow.
No way.
What?
No way.
Tebow wasn't as fast as Mike.
Man, they keep bringing Tim Tebow back year after year after year. They signed Michael Jordan for a publicity stunt.
Mike was stealing bases, John. He was fast.
You're right.
Hit home runs.
You're right. Michael Jordan won.
Go find his batting average. It was in the twos.
One of the great. I would hope so.
And I would tell you right now, Tebow going to be in them twos.
But again,
he didn't hit 300-something. He'd be playing for the Mets right now.
They played coach pitch with Michael Jordan out there on that mound.
Man,
they brought
stop.
The manager.
Man, act like Mike was playing T-ball, hitting it off a tee.
Mike, you ready? Here we go.
That man hit home runs. I saw it
here
on SportsCenter.
Wee! That's what they do with Michael Jordan. All right, we will come
back.
Send
your King LeBron out there, see what he does.
Mike Leach scheduled to join us in the third hour. We'll talk to him about Memphis, Mississippi State, get his thoughts on the game. Does he realize no cowbells? How's he going to handle that? Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.